good evening. Certainly glad that you're here tonight. I know that there's many different places tonight that you could find yourselves on a Saturday night. But I'm thankful that you're in the Lord's house. I'm thankful tonight that you come here for those that's been saved with, I hope, an earnest desire to want to serve the Lord, to be used by Him for His honor and for His glory. That's my desire tonight. Each and every time I preach, Brother Luke said something last night that I have to agree with him a whole lot. Everything he said, if you didn't hear his sermon, I suggest you go back and listen to it. It's one of the best, I guess, I've ever heard. The Lord helped me. But I say all that, and not to puff his head up too much, but I enjoy working with this good brother. But I say all that to say that he hopes that he sets an example in his home and to his family. They realize, and I'm paraphrasing this, but who's important to him? And that's the Lord. And he prays that we never know when our last opportunity is to preach. And it may very well be my last time. And I pray that God uses me each and every time. I don't know how this brother is or how other preacher brethren are, but I'm my biggest critic. I'll go home after I preach. Thank Lord, I failed you again. But my desire is tonight that Jesus Christ might be exalted. That's what I desire. I believe that ought to be each and every one of our desires tonight, that Jesus Christ might be exalted. So tonight, we want to take some reading. We'll be reading now the 59th chapter of Isaiah, and then we'll be going over into Luke's gospel. And but the other night, Tuesday night, we had spoken a little bit and tried to preach on the realities of hell and tried to speak on some of those things. And I want you to know tonight that you can become lost at any moment. And on the same hand, when you meet God's requirement, you can be saved at any moment. So tonight, God is the one that reveals to you that you're lost, but in your heart, you're the one that knows. And only God can reveal that to you. And He's the only one that is able to save you. But as the other night when we was talking about hell and the realities of hell, I want you to understand tonight that as we were speaking about those things that was there and the torments that would be there, the flames, the furnace of fire, all of those things, the torments that that rich man experienced while he was burning as he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, begging for that one drop of water to cool his tongue. To me, the greatest torment of it all is the separation that he would have for God. Being separated from God forever. Not only would he be separated from his family, but that separation that he would have between him and God throughout all eternity would be there. And I want you to know tonight, here is Isaiah in this 59th chapter, about what has separated you when you're lost and separated from God. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot slay, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, none any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They convince mischief and bring forth iniquity." Now also here the writer in the 55th chapter says, He says in his third verse, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." So here it is, we find here in the Scripture, that the Lord's hand is not shortened, neither that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. And I want you to know tonight that I believe in all of my heart that there is no prayer tonight that you'd say that God hears everything. And God understands everything. But I want you to know tonight that God is looking for one thing from you. He's looking to hear from the depths of your heart. And I understand tonight that when Brother Luke was talking about the other night, and I want you to understand when we're talking about what we mean when I talk about the heart. When we're talking about the heart, I'm not talking about the vessel, the muscle that's in your body that's pumping blood. But what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the heart is I'm talking about the soul of man, you see. So tonight we're talking about that inward man. Don't be confused tonight when we say when the Lord's knocking upon your heart or He's moving upon your heart, we're talking about He's dealing with the inwardmost part of the man, right here, in the very depths. So tonight I want you to understand that God can hear you when you pray from the depths of your heart. And I believe tonight that it comes down to a point to where you have to get serious about your condition. And I realize tonight that there's been a lot of lost people down through the years that have shed many a tears. I've seen sinners go down and shed tears and just cry and bawl their eyes out. And bless your heart, I'm thankful that you're willing to do that. I believe there takes sorrow there. For we know that godly sorrow, I'm going to mess that up. For godly sorrow, I'm going to work with repentance unto salvation. I'm going to mess that up. 2 Corinthians 7th chapter. Bear with me here. Hold on. I don't want to misquote that. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world worketh death. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. So tonight, I realize there's going to take some godly sorrow. But my friend tonight, I want you to understand that it must come from the inward part of the man, from the depths of your heart. And so I want to try to get you to understand that tonight, that as here the Lord says that His hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy, that He cannot hear. So God already knows tonight your condition. He already is waiting on you right now in this very moment. If you don't know where you stand with God, He's already waiting on you. And that's the reason why we say and we preach, don't wait for an altar call. That if you know if God is dealing with you tonight, He can hear you right now. Now, He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So your sin, my friend tonight, is what has separated you between you and your God. And my friend tonight, I'm thankful and I'm going to try to get to that point that you need to be reconciled tonight, my friend. And there's only one antidote for that. There's only one cure for that, if you will, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, He says, your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. If you'll remember the other night, we was talking about that woman from Canaan. And she come to Him, crying out to Him, saying, have mercy on me. And she was talking about how her daughter was vexed with the devil. And it says, He heard her not a word. My friend, listen, God will hear you. He will hear you. My friend tonight, when you pray the prayer that He's looking for, you say, well, preacher, I'm just waiting to hear from heaven. My friend, God will hear you tonight. I promise you. But He's looking from the depths of your heart. He's not looking for the words that's coming from your mouth. He says, and your hands are defiled. I'll move on. He says, your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Y'all pray for me. I need the Lord's help. I want to take over here tonight for a reading lesson. Over here in the Gospel of Luke, in the 23rd chapter, very familiar scripture to you tonight. Verse 32. And it says, and there were also two malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were coming to the place which is called Calvary, there crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them desired him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? For we indeed justly, for we receive our due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I want to stop there for just a moment, and I want to focus on what it is to be justified. I want to try to focus on some of these things tonight, what it is to be reconciled. And so we find here this man, the Lord Jesus, that we know that is the Son of God. We know that he was born of a virgin that was overshadowed there of the Holy Ghost. We know that he was perfect. We know that he was without a spot or a blemish. As Brother Luke said the other night, that John proclaimed that he is the Lamb of the world, the Lamb who... I'm going to mess this all up. He's the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. I'll get it out in a minute. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Y'all pray for me. So, Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. Now here he is, the Son of God. We know that he had a mock trial, that he had two false witnesses that had brought false accusations against him. We know that here he is, that he stood before Pilate. He's went to Herod. He's come back to Pilate. We know the Scripture teaches us that there was a man by the name of Barabbas that had done insurrections. The Bible says that he had committed murders, that he had been part of riots, if you will. And it was that time of the feast, and was custom at that time that they would release one of the prisoners, the Scripture teaches us. So here it is that we find that Pilate goes unto the people, and he asks them, declaring unto them. He knows that the people know that who this Barabbas is. And he declares unto them, he said, well, who would you have that I set free? And they wanted Barabbas set free. And they would cry out, crucify Jesus. And even Pilate declared, he said, this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss. And yet he still tried to wash his hands of it. He said, I'll wash my hands here. I don't want this blood on me. But yet what did the people cry out? They said, well, let the blood be on us and on our children, is what they declared. And my friends, still to this day, I don't believe they understood what they were asking for. My friend, there could be nothing better for the blood of Jesus to be upon them and upon their children. But my friend, they were talking about, had they had taken this innocent life, let it be upon them. And my friend, they are still looking for a Messiah today. Still looking for a Messiah. So here it is, Jesus, who Pilate had tried to wash his hands of, whom his wife had had a dream and come to him and said, I have nothing to do with this man. I've had a dream. I have nothing to do with him. He's a just man. Pilate, in every way but being fearful of the crowd, tried to wash his hands of it. They cried out a great deal louder, let him be crucified. And my friend, tonight, as I think about Barabbas, and I guess the picture that I want to try to paint for you tonight is Barabbas was guilty of what he had done. He was guilty. The people knew that he was guilty of murder. They knew that he was guilty of insurrection. But yet Jesus Christ took his place. Now, here it is. We know according to the Scripture. Of course, we can read Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. But we knew that the Scripture teaches us that he was there with the transgressors. So here it is that Jesus Christ has went to the cross. And I want you to understand something tonight, that he didn't just go to the cross in one sense. I want you to know that they beat on him. They whipped him. They mocked him. They spit on him. They treated him like he was a piece of trash. Now I'm talking about the Scripture has got many names for Jesus, but we can find that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We know that he's the Prince of Peace. We know that he's the Lily of the Valley. We know that he's the great I Am. We know that he's the Alpha and the Omega. We know he's the beginning and the end. We know that he's the bright and morning star. We know that he's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. He's everything. So here it is. They take Jesus, and they've treated him like a piece of trash. You remember that part where he said that he laid down his life, no man take it from him. He laid his life down. I don't believe they just, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I could just see it. Him knowing what lay before him. The Scripture teaches us that he was looking toward Jerusalem before he got there. He knew what lay ahead of him. I could just see him as he's been beat, he's been whipped, and he can't carry his cross all the way, so here comes Simon of Cyrene to help him bear his cross up to Calvary. I need you to understand something tonight, that physically he was a man. But he was all God. And it's hard for us to understand that sometimes. He was the fullness of the Godhead. So he was the fullness of all of those things. So here he is, Jesus Christ. He's went, and I could just see him laying his life down as he lays himself down upon that cross. And they began to drive those nails in his hands and in his feet. And they began to hoist him up. And there he is, hanging between heaven and earth, the Son of God, the greatest thing that's ever happened to anybody. Here he is. And yet, even while he's on the cross, others was still on his mind. So here it is, this thief. I want you to understand something tonight, that just some time before, and I don't know exactly how much time had spanned by this, but in Matthew in the 27th chapter in the 44th verse says, it says in this 43rd verse, it says, he trusted God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified him cast the same in his own teeth. So just some time before, and I don't know how long, I don't know how much time had transpired here, but I want you to know, I believe the fear of God began to work on the heart of one of these thieves that hang there. I believe it became very evident to him who was hanging right beside of him. I believe it became evident to him who was there beside of him that he was the Savior of the world. Now listen. He says, one of the malefactors which were railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And my friend, that's the mentality of a lot of the world today. Well, if he's Christ, let him fix every problem that we have in this world. My friend, Jesus Christ didn't promise to fix every problem you have. But what he did say is, I'll go with you and help you. I still have problems in this life, but thank you, God, I've got somebody to help me through them. He didn't promise to take everything away. He didn't say that life wasn't going to be difficult. He didn't say that there wasn't going to be challenges. That's not what he promised. But what he did say is, I'll go with you all the way, even into the end. You know what he told his disciples? He said, be of good cheer. He said, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Don't let things get you down. Keep your eye focused upon Canaan land. His sister Hannah was singing earlier. Canaan land's just in sight. So this malefactor, this thief that was hanging beside of him, I believe he realized who he was. And he says, doest thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And my friend, that's what Brother Luke was saying the other night, and I'm not trying to preach the same thing he said, but he said that the beginning of fear, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And my friend tonight, I believe the Lord said, don't fear the one that can kill the body, but he said, fear the one that can kill the body and the soul. Fear him. You realize tonight is the brother that was Brother Paul that was speaking, he said, listen, you don't have to go by getting cancer or some kind of disease. Listen, you can just go to sleep and never wake up again. God has that ability. He can say that. He can stop my heart right now if that's what he wants to do. You know why? Because he's God. Because he's God. Now listen. Listen to what this thief says. He says, we indeed justly, for we receive our due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. My friend, I want you to know that something happened to this thief while he was there on the cross. My friend, as he was hanging there, he was despising. He was no different than anybody else. He was mocking him. He was cursing him. He was degrading him. But as he was there and he heard about the things that Jesus was saying, the things that Jesus was doing, something changed in his heart. And what did he say? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Bless your heart, that's all I've got recorded that he ever spoke to Jesus. He was speaking to the other malefactor. Now, I don't know, but this is what we have recorded that he spoke to Jesus. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't have to pray for 30 years. He didn't have to pray for weeks and weeks and months on time. But he went to God with his whole heart. And do you know why? Because he knew that he was dying. And lost friend, do you know what you're doing tonight? You're dead. It's appointed unto man to die once, and then comes the judgment. I don't believe he's talking about dying a physical death. You're dead in your sins and trespasses. And the only one that can make you alive again is Jesus. You're dead. This man realized that he was dying. I don't believe he just realized that he was dying a physical death, but I believe he realized he was dead on the inside. He come to realize that this was the Christ that was beside of him. This was the Savior of the world. Now, I told you I wanted to try to get into some of this. And tonight, I believe in all of my heart, as the writer, the Apostle Paul, was speaking about, and I'll get to my place just here in a minute. Mine's running 90 miles an hour. Romans in the 10th chapter. Paul said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I will say this, there's a lot of modern day people that have taken this scripture and they've ran with it. They'll say, well, if you'll just do this and listen to what he says. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And they say, well, if you'll just confess this, you're going to be all right. Listen to me. You're going to have to see Jesus for who he is. You're going to have to see him for who he is. You're going to have to believe tonight what he said he's done. And what he's going to do. But my friend tonight, listen, I fully believe upon my heart. He said, and you got to go on here with this 10th verse. He said, for with the heart man believes upon righteousness, and with the mouth a confession is made unto salvation. So when the heart believeth upon righteousness, then the mouth comes out with a confession of faith that he saved me. I know I've been born again. I've got something that he's done in my heart. He's fixed the inward man. I'm alive again. It gives you something to confess. See? But listen to what he says. He says, for who shall ever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that. Remember what Isaiah said? He said his arm is not shortened that he cannot reach. My friend tonight, he desires to save. But listen to what he says. He goes on to say, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? And that's the way he starts that 53rd chapter. And he says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, into the words, unto the end of the world. Listen, the word of God has to go out. And my friend and I believe that you have to hear about Jesus Christ. Now, there's this doctrine that's going around that the only way you can be saved is if you hear it by a God-called preacher. And I don't believe that. But my friend, I believe you've got to hear about Jesus. I'm thankful that we've got songs tonight Listen, you cannot sing to know what it is about victory in Jesus. You can't sing about the blood of the Lamb. You can't sing those songs without knowing them and cherishing them in your heart. Because I'm going to tell you tonight, when you sing them and you know what you're singing about, it puts a whole new meaning on them. He said, who will believe thy report? The gospel message goes out through the songs. The gospel message goes out through those that testify unto what Jesus Christ has done for them. The gospel message, I believe the primary gospel message, goes out by God-called preachers. But God can use anybody that's been born again. There's some preachers back home probably wouldn't like it too much, but they can get over it. Now, reconciliation. You're separated. Tonight. You know, let me put it to you this way. If you're lost, you know you're separated. And you may be able to sit there right now and put on this front. You might put on this face in front of each and every person here. And they may, listen. I wouldn't know any difference, but God would. For the very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows everything about you. He knows every detail about you. He knows how many times your heart beats a day. You say, that's ridiculous. Listen, when I say God knows everything about you, He knows everything. He knows it all. So God knows your heart. So if you're here tonight and separated from God, the only one that can reconcile you is Jesus Christ. Now listen to what Paul says, and I want to read some tonight from over in Romans. And it says here in this 22nd verse in the third chapter, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For we all sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? Is it excluded by the law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So tonight I want you to understand something, that you're separated. If you're lost tonight, you're separated from God. And tonight, I can understand, I can relate, and anybody that's ever been saved tonight has had to been lost at some point. And my friend, tonight, you may feel in a place to where you feel embarrassed. My friend, that you're afraid that somebody's going to maybe look at you or whatever it is. I don't know, but I want you to know tonight that when God gets to dealing with your heart, my friend, you got to push all that out of the way. And my friend, I can promise you and reassure you tonight that these people love you and they desire nothing for you to be saved, more than for you to be saved. And my friend, tonight, I need you to understand that we are justified tonight through faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine this. You ever tried to justify your own actions? You ever done something wrong? try to justify yourself. I think we've all been guilty of that. Maybe it could have been, well, I was ignorant in doing it. I didn't know any better. Well, Paul takes care of that here in the first chapter. He says that they'll be without excuse. My friend, tonight there won't be any excuse for you. How will you stand before a just God and try to justify yourself? Well, you can't say that I never heard the gospel. You can't say, God, I didn't have enough time to pray. We just read about a thief that hung on the cross that had limited time to live. That I believe that if it comes within the depths of your heart, that you can be saved at the snap of a finger. There won't be anything that you can justify yourself standing before a holy God. Nothing. There won't be any excuse that you can give that you're able to justify yourself. The only thing that you can justify yourself with is through the blood of the Lamb, the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Let me put it to you this way. I heard a person ask a question one time. They said, how can one man, dying on a cross for a few hours, save the whole world? I'll put it to you this way. Because that one man is worth more than everything. That one man is worth more than every human being that's ever been born. That one man is worth more than everything beautiful that you've ever seen. That one man is worth more than everything. And when Jesus Christ is weighed in the balance, He outweighs it all. Everything. So how can one man, dying a few hours on a tree, how can He save everybody that would come to Him? Because He's worth it all. Tonight, Luke told you last night, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That word remission means no forgiveness. When Adam was given the law there in the garden, Eve was beguiled and she partook of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. You can read there and you'll find that the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. But they chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, they tried to sew fig leaves together to cover themselves. They tried to do everything that they could on their own. And you know what God done? He took an innocent animal. I believe He took a lamb. And He made a covering for them that was a picture of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came upon the cross there at Calvary, I believe He accomplished and completed everything. What did He mean when He said that it is finished? You know, it says He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost, brother. I don't believe He bowed His head in defeat. I believe He bowed His head as He was going to sleep. When He said it is finished, people might think, well, He was just giving up. No. What that means to be finished means paid in full. When it says that it was finished, what had He finished? He'd completed everything that His Father had sent Him to do. Everything, every type, every shadow, every jot, every tittle, everything. He had finished it. He had completed it. It was done. And He bowed his head. And He yielded up the ghost. And there in Luke it says, Father, into Thy hands I commend Thy spirit. I'll tell you what the wonderful thing is. The story doesn't end there. Tonight, there's people in the world today that when they die, they'll say, well, I repeated a sinner's prayer, and that's going to get me to heaven. I feel as some of them will stand before God, and He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings tonight, but I'm telling you, if that prayer didn't come from the heart, it ain't worth nothing. If you're holding on to baptism to get you there, it ain't going to get you there. The only thing that I can hold to, the only thing that'll justify me in the presence of God, is one day after a while, when I stand before Him, when people ask other people, well, I hope that I've lived a good life and I've tried to live a righteous life and I hope I go to paradise someday. And I'll stand here before you today and tell you that I'm a sinner. I've broken every one of God's laws. You know what James says? He said, if you're guilty of one point of the law, you're guilty of it all. I've broken every one of God's laws. Every one of them. And I stand before Him one day, and the only thing that I can say is because a man died for me, He gave His life for me. And I'm trusted in His completed work. And He's given me peace in my heart. And that's all that I'm relying on one day after a while. Not something somebody else did for me. Tonight, you're separated from God. And you need to be saved. And the only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. Faith. Tonight. I'm told in the Scripture that faith of a grain of a mustard to move mountains. It don't take much faith. But I'm thankful God keeps adding to my faith. Tonight, I've oftentimes thought about Him, what He went through and what He experienced. They placed Him in that tomb. They sealed the door. And then on the third day, He rose victorious. And I'm thankful today that He's seated there at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. He's able to make intercession for you. That veil in the temple was rent in twain. It was torn in two. That separation. We've got access to God tonight through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood on the cross at Calvary. Listen, that old story of Jesus dying for me on the cross will never grow old, no matter how many times I tell it. I don't know where you stand with God tonight, but I want to tell you this. That tonight, through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, you can be justified. You can stand before a holy God. Tonight, if you're here and lost, come seek the Lord. Brother Mike, I'm done. Come seek the Lord tonight. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful, as Paul said, that it was a schoolmaster. It showed me what I was. It showed me my guilt. It helped point me to the cross. And tonight I want to encourage you, look to the cross. Look to Jesus. Come to Him. Bow before His feet. Surrender tonight. Jesus can save you. Jesus can let you know. You ask me how I know tonight. You ask me how I know He lives. I know He lives tonight because I can feel His Spirit. I know He lives tonight because His Spirit's in me. I know He lives tonight. Those that don't know Him don't know Him. But my friend, if you're one of His, He'll speak to you.
Amen.
Tonight, come seek the Lord. Come talk to Him. Go ahead, brother.
137. 137. Let's stand.